The numbers are hard to ignore. Only 48% of African-American students graduate. Less than 5% are college ready. It's a serious problem with no easy solution. This two-hour live forum will feature guests on both sides of the debate, along with your input. Welcome to a special town hall edition of Outreach, live from the Barrymore Theater. Now here's your host, Darrell Connor.
We are live from the Barrymore Theater. Wednesday night special edition of Outreach. I'm your host, Darrell Connor. Thank you so much for joining us. And as the people are still trickling in at the Barrymore, for those of you who are on your way, for those of you who are debating whether or not to come down, there is room for you. Come down, be a part of the conversation. You can email us at outreachwiba@gmail.com. That email address, once again, is outreachwiba@gmail.com if you want to send comments, questions about the show tonight. I'm so glad to be here, and I'm glad to be here with all of you. I want to give you just a brief trip down memory lane before I interview our first guest. You know, I've been very, very passionate about this issue, and ever since December 19th, when I know a lot of you in the audience were probably at Memorial High School for the Madison prep vote. After that day, I was pretty upset. And I was on the show 2 days later, and I expressed how upset I was. Now, many people thought that I was upset just or only about Madison prep. And I want to let people know, first of all, that this isn't a Madison prep conversation. This is an achievement gap conversation. But I want you to understand where I'm coming from here. One of the reasons why I was so upset that night is because I felt like, and I know there's probably some folks out there who agree with me, that people just weren't listening to what was going on. People just weren't listening to what folks who got up and spoke over the last 5.5 hours, what they were saying about themselves, their children, and their children's education. That is why I wanted to do this. And I will do this 100 times if that's what it takes for us to start talking about the root of the problem and finding solutions. Let me say this too. I don't play politics here. For those of you who have heard my show, I don't sit on either side of the political aisle. I'm neither a Democrat nor a Republican. I don't identify myself with either party. This is not about politics for me. And it shouldn't be for any of us either. These are about children. These are about our students. And it's not just African-American students. Latino students, we have poor white students, we have Southeast Asian students, we have Native American students, we have students that are falling through the cracks, and we're losing them to the streets, and we're losing them to the criminal justice system, and sometimes worse. So when I say I don't play political politics, I want you to understand this. If you take nothing else from this conversation, I want you to take this from me. There are parents out there. There's been a lot of talk over the last several months about certain people and about whether this person is aligned with this organization or that person's aligned with this organization, and people making drawing battle lines. Here are the facts, folks. We have parents out there. A lot of them are single parents who have children in this community who could care less about any of these organizations, whether it be ALEC, whether it be MTI, whether it be the Bradley Corporation. They could care less about that. What they care about is, how do I get my son or daughter through school without losing them to an achievement gap that we have been dealing with for 40 years? That's what they're worried about. They're not worried about these other organizations. I'm not saying they're not important, but I need people to understand and take the blinders off and take the political hats and check the egos at the door and understand what we're dealing with here. We have a serious problem in this community, and it's going to take all of us to deal with it. And here's the other thing before I get to my guests. all of us are going to have to start developing a little thicker skin. That's the parents in this community. That's the kids, the MTI, the teachers, and everyone else in the school district, up to the administration, up to Superintendent Neerat. We all have to start developing thicker skin and understand the difference between constructive criticism and attacking or trashing. We've got to stop this, because what's at stake, this very community that we live in today, this great community, we have kids that are being lost. Our very community depends on it. So let's get started. I want to get started with my first guest. She is running for the school board. It's a seat that's being vacated by Lucy Mathiak. She is a philanthropist. She has been really a champion in the community in terms of all her work, from Boys and Girls Club to the school district. Please welcome Mary Burke. Mary, first of all, I want to thank you for doing this and being a part of it. What was that spark that made you decide to run for the school board? What was it? Did you wake up one morning and say, you know what I like to do? I like to run for school board. But what made you do it?
I care about the kids in our community. I have a passion for education. I believe every kid should have that opportunity to succeed. And I grew up in a family that believed, and we were taught, the more you have, the more that you should give. And it's pretty much a natural progression of the work that I've done over the last 13 years, mentoring kids, trying to help them reach their potential. And then, in the last 4 years, co-founding the AvidTOPS program that's in all four Madison high schools and has really proven quite successful. So, to me, we have a huge issue in this community. Our public schools are absolutely integral to our community's health and future, and I want to be part of positive change.
Mary Burke joins us on 1310 WIBA and also 92.1 The Mic. This program is being simulcast on both stations. Mary, you could very easily, with your financial situation, say, you know what? I could just chill. I don't need to, I can give what I can to various charities if I want to. I don't have to do any of this. Michael Johnson once told me the story about how they were building they were doing landscaping out in the back of the Boys and Girls Club, and there you were out there on your hands and knees getting dirty right with the rest of them. It's those types of things, being involved in the schools. You don't have to do that. Why do you do it?
It brings meaning to my life. I've had different careers, working at Trek Bicycle, running the department, Wisconsin Department of Commerce, but I have found nothing that is as fulfilling and enriching as trying to help others as much as I can. I live just like 3 or 4 blocks from here, and I live right 2 blocks from where my mom grew up, from where my grandfather was a mailman in this neighborhood. He delivered mail every single day in the house that I live in right now. And, I've seen that, the type of education that my parents were able to get and what they were able to give me makes a huge difference. And I believe in this country and in this city, we have too many people living in poverty, and that needs to change. And so it gives meaning to my life to do what I can to eliminate economic and social injustice.
Mary, now, Michael Flores is here, and I'm going to ask him the same question. What do you see? Take us through the first 90 to 120 days if you're elected on the school board. What do you think are some of the priorities that the school district needs to focus on first?
Well, I think first and foremost in that time, I'd want to get to know the my other fellow school board members. I think it's absolutely critical that we have great leadership, united leadership, all the way throughout throughout our district. And it has to start with an effective school board. So I would want to do what I could to to build that. I've already started a lot of listening sessions with parents involved with PTOs. Last night I held a listening session with teachers. You know, I'm already trying to get up to speed on making sure I understand the issues and the both sides of the coin on these issues. And so I'll be able to make those decisions. Certainly we have a number of really critical issues. The achievement gap plan that Superintendent Neerad has put out, I hope that is going to be a main focus of the board and how that is going to be undertaken. I think very important is the issues of the collective bargaining agreement and making sure that we, turn that into a handbook in a way that is going to make sure we have great teachers who feel valued, respected, are fairly compensated, and motivated. I think right now with the uncertainty that exists, it's hurting morale. So I think, you know, those are the two absolutely critical issues that I think as a school board member I need to jump into.
30 seconds or less, Mary. Why should people vote for you?
I think, you know, Michael is a great candidate. We see each other pretty frequently, and I think what I have on him is 20 years of experience. That's business experience, finance experience, nonprofit experience, educational experience, government experiences. And I think all of those are really critical at this time when we're facing some fairly major issues.
Mary Burke joins us. Mary, it was great to have you on the show. Thank you so much for being here. I know you have another engagement. We want to get you out of here, but I really appreciate you coming. Thanks so much. Mary Burke, ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks for having me.
At this time, we'll be back in just about 4 minutes. Michael Flores will join us. You're listening to 1310 WIBA and 92.1 The Mic special town hall meeting.
You're listening to a special town hall edition of Outreach Live from the Barrymore Theater. Once again, here's Darrell Connor.
Welcome back to this special town hall edition of Outreach, News Talk 1310 WIBA and 92.1 The Mic. Joining me right now is Mary Burke's opponent in the race for a school board seat that's being vacated by Lucy Mathiak. He is a Madison firefighter. He is Michael Flores. Michael, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good. Thank you for having me on the show. Thank you, everybody, for coming and listening. It's excellent.
Now, Michael, you have been I know you've been very vocal, and I think it started with the whole collective bargaining issue with Scott Walker, and I know that you were one of the voices out there. What made you transition from that to running for school board?
Well, I want to go back to what you said. I love exactly what you said. It was like you took words out of my mouth. I believe that we need to focus on our students. But yeah, I was apolitical before this, and I saw attacks on teachers, many teachers that brought me up, helped me, gave me a leg up to become who I am, and that didn't sit right with me. So I had to get out there and let my voice, my perspective be heard, because I do value education. You know, I was once a student here in the Madison School District, and my kids are in the Madison School District, and I value public education. It's for everybody, and can empower our kids to become the citizens, that do our duty, that protect us, defend us, and represent us when we need.
What do you think are some of the issues when you? I mean, there's been so much discussion about the achievement gap and the root causes of it. What do you think are some of the issues there?
There's a broad array of issues from poverty, people, the low income that we're receiving, the jobs that we're losing due to the economy in the nation. That's one of the major ones. I think we need to create jobs for people, protect the jobs that we do have, educate our kids so they can do whatever job, so they're versatile. One of my big pushes is empowering our kids so that they're competitive, not just in Madison, but in the world. I've seen friends travel throughout the globe because they're bilingual, trilingual. They have the know-how to to compete against anybody and everybody.
Yeah, I think that being able to compete globally, I think is a huge issue, because it the world has shrunk.
Yeah,
it has really shrunk. We are dealing with a global economy now. Michael Flores joins us on Newstalk 1310 WIBA and 92.1 The Mic. He is a candidate for the school board for the seat that's being vacated by Lucy Mathiak. Michael, I mean, when you look at the statistics out there, we have 48% of African American students not graduating high school, and the number for Latino students is right around 56-57%. What are some of the things that, if elected, what are some of the things that you would want to focus on first when dealing with this issue?
I love the fact that the community has stood up and has been so outspoken, that this attention is drawn. I believe it's important, and I implore the community, the educators, the students, they need your support. We need to be the voices. We need to represent who we are, where we come from, and we need to teach our kids and teach everybody that's in charge of educating our kids, give them our cultural understanding, how we can do the constructive criticism to empower our kids to learn. We need to break those barriers, those walls that we put up as adults. You know, we can't pass those on to our kids because they're falling behind. We need to identify the kids that are graduating, and we need to find out what is going on right for those kids, and we need to double it. We need to multiply it. We need to you know, never stop. You know, we need to reach out and you know, adapting and helping.
What role can parents play? I mean, there has been a lot of talk about what the root causes are, and it's something I'll get into as we go into the program, but. You know, some have said it's parental involvement, and some have said that it's poverty. But let's talk about parental involvement. That'll be my last question to you. What role can parents play along with teachers to help turn these numbers around?
Parents, I implore you out there. It's not only our kids. You know, I try to adapt my neighbors, my kids' neighbors, and if I see an issue, I love to be an advocate and communicate with the parents. You know, there's cultural apprehensions. There's parents that are shy and so on, they might not be able to be as involved. But if we can reach out and connect the parents with the educators, connect the parents with the communities, pass out and inform. You know, if you know somebody's struggling, a parent's struggling, you know, hey, I just heard there's a job here and this and that. Unite the community. I think it's the big key is that communal effort. And, you know, there is kids out there in foster care. You know, get involved. You know, help those kids. Every little helps. And I love Madison because I do see Madison being involved and engaged. You know, I appreciate the time that you are taking, you know, everybody that is taking and listening, you know.
Michael Flores, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for coming on the show and spending a few minutes with us. I know you have an engagement too. I appreciate you coming on and spending a few minutes.
Thank you very much, and keep up the good work.
Well, thank you.
The good fight.
We'll be back in just a few minutes with our next guest. You're listening to 1310 WIBA and 92.1 The Mic. It's a special town hall meeting at the Barrymore Theater.
Our special town hall edition of Outreach Live from the Barrymore Theater continues. Once again, here's Darrell Connor.
Welcome back. We are at the Barrymore Theater for a special town hall meeting. 1310 WIBA, 92.1 The Mic. And joining me at this time, he is a member of the school board. And we're going to talk a little bit about Dan Nierad and the initiatives, and discuss a few other things with him as far as the achievement gap is concerned. Ed Hughes joins us. Ladies and gentlemen, Ed Hughes. Ed, thank you, first of all, for doing this and for coming on and spending some time. The first question I wanted to ask you is about you know, some of the reasons for the achievement gap. And I know you've been on the board for a while, and so you've gotten a chance to see quite a bit and been able to interact. And let me say this before I ask this question. I am not a huge believer in poverty being the reason why kids can't achieve. And I'll tell you why. There have been millions of people that have come throughout history that have achieved great things in their lives, and they've started out in poverty. And also, the other reason why I don't believe in it is because I think when we start looking at kids through the lens of poverty, our expectations of them go way down. And the fact of the matter is, when we have kids out there, if you have kids on the wrong end of the achievement gap, and let's say they're out in the streets and they get in trouble, and they end up before a judge. The judge doesn't want to hear about how you grew up and whether or not you grew up in poverty before he hands out a sentence. He doesn't want to hear that. He's going to give you a sentence, and you'll find yourself in the criminal justice system. You'll find yourself in prison. So if we're not using poverty as an excuse that way, then why are we accepting poverty as a reason? It can be a symptom, but as a reason why kids can't achieve.
Well, that's a great question, Darrell. I think that poverty obviously has an effect on students who come into our schools, but each student who comes into our schools is an individual, and as you say, each individual student has the possibility or the what we would have an expectation for each student that the student can learn and the student can thrive in our schools. So we can't expect that anyone who comes into our schools, no matter what his or her background, isn't going to be able to learn and succeed in our schools. And that has to be the expectation that we bring to each of our students. When we look at our students, we know that there's a huge range of backgrounds and experiences and challenges that our students come from, and we have to be sensitive to that and do what we can to address those considerations to the extent of our resources. You can look at the results on our kindergarten readiness tests of the kids who are going to be joining us as kindergartners. And there are huge disparities in the extent to which kids are ready for kindergarten. And some kids come to kindergarten with parents who have been reading to them for every day for their lives almost, and have an extensive vocabulary for someone their age. Other kids come with a much more limited vocabulary. So those present challenges, and what we have to do is be sensitive to those and to make sure that we are giving the kids who need extra help the help that they need in order to give them every opportunity to succeed. So talking about the achievement gap, I think the achievement gap plan, I think that the disparity in needs of the kids who come before us helps to explain why there's a big focus on third grade literacy. How make sure the kids are reading by third grade and devoting a lot of resources both to identifying kids who need help and getting the help to them, both through a different curriculum, to the extent that that works better, to the extent that we can marshal volunteers from the community to help kids, tutor them, to bring them up to speed, and to the extent that we can give them what we need so that those kids, to the extent they can catch up and can overcome the circumstances that they come from, and as you say, succeed and thrive in our schools.
Ed Hughes joins us on News Talk 1310 WIBA and 92.1 The Mic. Special town hall meeting from the Barrymore. Wanted to send a quick reminder to everybody that there's going to be time for questions for all of our panelists. We have microphones set up on either side, so if you have a question or an idea, there's going to be time to do so later on in the program. Ed, my question to you then is, given the amount of students in poverty, and I'm not saying that poverty isn't a symptom, because it is. Given the amount of students in poverty, given the amount of students in the Madison Metropolitan School District that are on free and reduced lunch, is it time for the district to change the way they reach and teach kids because of the demographic change?
Well, Yeah, we are not getting the results that we should be getting as to the extent that we can measure it with many of our kids, with kids who are free and reduced lunch, with students of color. So that is something that requires us to rethink how we're delivering the curriculum and figuring out how we can best do that in order to give everyone what they need. And everyone what they need. I mean, we need to be able to provide the best possible education for kids who are coming from privileged backgrounds and who are excelling and thriving. We need to bring them to the next level of challenge as well. So it is a terrific challenge in order to determine what's the best way to give all kids what they need. And overall, what we need is to be able, as I said, bring everyone to appropriately challenging curriculum so they can take the next step wherever they are currently and do it in a way that's best for everyone. There tends to be a conversation when we talk about how we need to address the achievement gap that's kind of an either or, that we have resources that if we provide help for one group of kids, we're taking it away from others. And I don't think that's necessary. I don't think that's an accurate or a helpful way to look at it. What we need are, we have wonderful teachers, but when we have great teachers, they teach everyone in that class, wherever that student is. When we have the appropriate curriculum, then we have something that everyone will be able to benefit from. The components in the achievement gap plan, for example, preparing kids for high school or life after high school for careers, that's something that will benefit everyone, both in terms of encouraging the engagement of students who currently may not see a path forward for them and so don't have much incentive to sit down and do their homework if they don't think it's going to be paying off for them. If you can show them that there's a pathway to a career and a successful and thriving life, then presumably that will provide them with more incentive to do their work. So it helps everyone. It isn't necessarily this either-or situation, but we certainly have to figure out what it is that we can do better in order to bring up the kids who aren't performing at the levels we'd want to see currently.
Ed Hughes, ladies and gentlemen, thank you, Ed, for joining us for a few minutes. And Ed will be back later on in the show to take part in the question and answer session. Thank you so much, Ed. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Lucy Mathiak. You're listening to the 1310 WIBA and 92.1 The Mic, live from the Barrymore.
You're listening to a special town hall edition of Outreach Live from the Barrymore Theater. Once again, here's Darrell Connor.
Welcome back. News Talk 1310 WIBA, 92.1 The Mic. We are live at the Barrymore Theater for a special town hall, closing the achievement gap. Thanks so much for being with us. And at this time, I would like to introduce a school board member who is going to be leaving in a few weeks. She is Lucy Mathiak. Lucy joins us. Hello, Lucy. How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you, Michael?
Michael.
Oh, God.
We were just talking about Michael Johnson, too. It's okay.
Clouded my brain.
I get, all us black guys look alike, so.
That's okay, because James always thinks that I'm Arlene, so.
Before we get started, I wanted everybody to know that Dan Nierad wanted to be here. He's at a listening session tonight, and, I had been in contact with Dan quite a bit over the last few weeks, and he really tried to make it work and fit in the schedule to be here, but unfortunately he is not going to be here. But I did want to take the opportunity with you and talk a little bit about what is being billed as an achievement gap plan, but it's not really a plan, correct?
That's right. It is the outline of what may become a plan, but whether what is in the pages that were presented a few weeks ago is the final version remains to be seen. And I would expect that there will be some changes, in part because of all of the feedback that's coming in as this process unfolds.
Now, Lucy, seeing as how you're going to be leaving the board, I can ask you these next two provocative questions.
I might not answer.
But I'll try it anyway. First of all, you were one of two that voted for Madison Prep back in back on December 19th, and Ed Hughes being one who didn't vote for it, but said that if it was 2013 after the collective bargaining agreement was done, that he would vote for it. What made you What made you decide to step out and vote for it?
Personally, I really didn't feel like I had a choice. I prefer that the Madison School District take the steps that were outlined in the Madison Prep Plan? Yes. Would I prefer that all of those things be available to the students who are currently in our schools? Absolutely. The problem is those things are not happening, and people have waited and begged and testified and at some points filed complaints, and we still struggle with the same basic issues around not just achievement, but in terms of encouraging students to achieve.
Lucy Mathiak joins us on 1310 WIVA and 92.1 The Mic. This is my second provocative question, and I'm going to ask you this because I'm not white. And I say that because I'm curious, and hopefully in some of the Q&A, I would like to hear from folks, too, about this question I'm about to ask, and that is, in the Madison Metropolitan School District, we have an 87% graduation rate for white students, and I think that's pretty good. I think the number could be higher. I mean, in this community, it should be between 90 and 95, personally. But my question is, with even at 87%, that's considered good. Why have there been so many white families leave the district over the past 5 to 7 years?
Well, I'm probably not the best person to ask because I'm still in the district. But I think there are a number of issues. I think it's simplistic to say that people are uncomfortable with the growing number of low-income and people of color who have moved into the district. I think it's bigger than that. There was a survey that took place a few years ago, and when you looked at the issues that people outlined, there were a couple of things that really stood out. One had to do with the lack of intellectual challenge and the lack of programming for students who wanted to do more advanced work, and some of it had to do with concerns around the buzzword is safety, but that could mean almost any of a number of things. I think the way I would characterize it, and I may be wrong, is more of concerns about the classroom environment and whether it is conducive to learning, because in fact we are struggling to deal with a very wide range of needs, and there are times and some students who really are quite disruptive, and for some parents that can be a deal breaker. And that's, I also want to say it's not because of bad teachers. The teachers are doing everything they can. The population that we're dealing with is not the people you and I went to school with.
Lucy Mathiak, thank you so much for spending a few minutes with us. Lucy will be back later on in the program to take part in the Q&A. Lucy Mathiak, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll share a few thoughts, and our next interview will be Kaleem Kerr. You're listening to 1310 WIBA.
Our special town hall edition of Outreach Live from the Barrymore Theater continues. Once again, here's Darrell Connor.
Welcome back to the Barrymore Theater, 1310 WIBA and 92.1 The Mic, special edition of Outreach. You know, we have a couple minutes before we get to the top of the hour, and then when we come back, Kaleem Kerr will join us for a segment or so. But I want to say this: there was some discussion earlier today about teachers and why teachers aren't a part of this, and if you can have a town hall without having teachers here. Let me say this real quick. There was no malicious intent to not include teachers as part of this. That's not my intention. And furthermore, you know, there is a show next week, and we're going to continue to have shows, and we're going to continue to talk about this issue. This isn't the only time we're going to meet and talk about the achievement gap, what's going on in the school district. This is about kids. This isn't, again, I want to repeat what I said at the top of the program. This isn't about any politics, any political agenda. This isn't about, you know, teachers versus other members of the community and different organizations. This is about how we can best address the achievement gap issue. And I wanted to bring some folks on who have been involved in the achievement gap, and whether they've been hands-on or whether they're part of a governing body that makes decisions. So I really wanted to make this point that this isn't about excluding anybody. I want everybody in this conversation, and as long as I continue to do this show, I'm going to have teachers on. Dan Nierad has been a frequent guest on my show. Principals, school board members, and community folks, because we all need each other. Believe it or not, we all need each other if we're going to attack this issue. And squabbling about who's here and who's not isn't going to get the job done. It's not going to get us any closer to solving this. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Stay tuned. 1310 WIBA 92.1. When we come back, Kaleem Kerr will join us on stage. You're listening to 92.1 1310 WIBA.
It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes.